There wasn't any kind of tongue lashing. He just received forgiveness. And matter of fact, to my knowledge, unless there's something that's not written in the scripture, the Lord never brought up Peter's sin. He just forgave him. There was just this sense of forgiveness. And so he forgives Peter, and Peter becomes dynamite because of it. He is working for the Lord with all that he has. The prodigal in Luke 15 receives forgiveness from his father. That's another sermon altogether, and you get that picture, don't you? So what is true forgiveness? How is it that you and I can experience that, and how is it that we can give it to others? Listen closely. True forgiveness is when the one in whom the offense was against no longer holds it against the offender. Can I read that again? When the one in whom the offense was against no longer holds it against the offender. Now, what that means is that when your wife burned the biscuits in 1963 and in 1968 you got into it and you brought that back up, you never forgave. Now that's a silly little example, but what people who have not forgiven, anytime that the wound is rubbed a little bit, they bring the offense back up. That means that they never have forgiven that individual. Now, if someone runs over my toe with the car, I'm not going to stick my toe back under the wheel if I can keep from it. But and there are some situations that you and I remember, but we don't bring it back up. We don't rehearse that when we're with that person to make sure that they understand that they have offended us. This offense is still against them if we have really forgiven. There are times when the offender is truly sorry, but the offended will not forgive. There's times when the offender is really sorry, and the offended will not forgive. Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city." I've experienced that. We had a man on our building committee when I pastored at Tuckerman that he and I had a disagreement. And my mouth is always getting me in trouble. If I could take it back, I'd take it back 10,000 times. But once something has come out of your mouth, you can't take it back. And in the course of our conversation, I said, "That's stupid." When Madison was little, he said that Jason used the S word. And we had to question him a little bit. And finally, Gwen said, "Was the S word stupid?" And he said, "Yes." Well, I used the S word, and it was a terrible, terrible mistake. And I was My temper was roused. His temper was roused. And I said, that's stupid. And he said, are you calling me stupid? I said, that ideal is stupid. The next morning, when I got to my office, all of the records for the building committee was piled on my desk. And I called him and tried to apologize. And it was like a brick wall. And this is what he said. I said, that was wrong of me. Will you please forgive me? And this is what he said. It's not going to be that easy, old buddy. I'll not be back. It took years to resolve one word. The Lord allowed it. The Lord worked it out. I was able to, I tell you, it took a lot of crawling on the floor and not literally, but I had to eat a lot of chili at 10 o'clock of the morning with a greasy top on it. I had to go to the gym 4 days a week. I just had to do a lot of stuff to try to regain that friendship. And there was always that wall. We left, and there was still somewhat of a wall. Even though we had come back to church, there was somewhat of a wall there. I came back and preached one day, and when I was coming into the building, he met me in the hallway and hugged me. And I told him I loved him, and he said, I love you too. And a little while after that, I preached his funeral. When we forgive others, the scripture is clear that we are to forgive. In Matthew 18, I'm getting ready to wind this down. In Matthew 18, because I think that we've come to the greatest part of this message.